Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, you're not going to play it, huh? I thought we were going to get a little final countdown action.
Yeah.
See, you know, this is where maybe we should have had more of a production conversation. I thought you were going to come in here and rip roaring and Craig Wolfley, and it's the final day of the locker room, and then that's when I was going to. That's it, though.
Okay, that's all we can play.
Yeah, yeah, there
it's the final countdown.
I was waiting for you to say
I wish we
could
have spliced at least, like, maybe from seconds, like, 12 to 14, at least, of the 3 seconds.
Yeah, that wasn't even 12 seconds. That was what? A second and a half.
There we go.
That's it.
At least it lets us know it's a song. The beginning could have been the intro to like 50 different songs.
Wes is sitting here.
That's the point, Max. They can't nail me for any one individual.
Wes is looking at me.
What are they going to do? Kick us off air? Oh, that's right. This is our last day.
He's giving us a side eye going, you guys aren't going to get in trouble, but I'm going to get in trouble.
That's right.
He's like going to heck with you guys.
It rolls downhill, Wes. It rolls downhill.
It's like you guys are about to graduate, but some of us still have to come back to school here, all right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? This reminds me, you know, Wes's superpower is keeping it together. But you know what? Everybody's got a superpower of some sort. Let me give you a couple of superpowers out there, okay? Natasha Denkina, right? Claims to be the girl with X-ray eyes. She can diagnose medical conditions and also sees the effect of medicine in real time. Now, supposedly, all right, she has this superpower since she was a child. And at age 17, she was visited by a doctor who she warned this doctor that he might have cancer. Well, the doctor goes and gets a scan done afterwards and said, you know what? Something looks wrong with the stomach. It revealed a large enlarged lymph nodes in his abdomen. And so she was partly right. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Just think if you got X-ray eyes like that, huh? Man.
That is awesome.
You could look at like Subway sandwiches that are wrapped up, you know, and see inside and which one's got the most meat. You know, that's
– Yeah, see, technically that would be just reading the label. Oh, this is turkey. It obviously has more than veggie.
You know how it is. It varies. You could see the amounts there. Yeah. See, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You. I mean, if she was down to the ounces, that would be pretty crazy.
Oh yeah.
It's like no. I'm sorry. That's only 4.5 ounces. This one has 6.2.
I mean, think about it.
Since I'm hungry today, guys.
You got X-ray eyes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would think more so. You know. Seeing inside of like, you know, like doors of prizes or something. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're on, you know, Price is Right or something, like, door A or door B. I'm gonna wait for B.
Yeah,
because B has the jet ski in it, you know?
Wait a minute, let me get my eyes fixated on the door.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want the living room set. I want a jet ski. Kenny Powers.
I like that. All right. So what would your superpower be, Max?
My superpower. What would it be?
Do you want me to go first?
You to go first. I need to think about this.
Here's my superpower. I can – now, knowing what a lousy academic – record I've had in my life, I've accomplished. And I've flunked math twice. We all know that, okay? I can walk into the kitchen, I can see a tray of chocolate chip cookies sitting there, and invariably, without missing a step, I can pick out the one with the most chocolate chips in it. I'm telling you, nail it every time. I'm that good.
Of all the superpowers in the world, that's what you're going with? Chocolate chips?
Absolutely, man. I mean, just saying. It's a gift. I don't even have to work at it.
Have a superpower, too. Every time you snap your fingers, you get the world's best chocolate chip cookie right in your hand.
But I don't have that superpower. My superpower is I can calculate the number of chocolate chips in that cookie, and then, boom, it's mine, right? I'll wrestle my kids for it, okay? I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, he said, I'll wrestle my kids for it. Like Cal Naughton Jr. We were talking about. He's like,
CJ's
over there. Take away, I'll sock you in the mouth.
CJ's in the other studio getting limber right now.
Yeah. We'll have a little sumo exactly. contest between
Dad,
us.
Dad, I've been chasing squirrels. I'm pretty wiry now, Dad.
Yeah, he's been working out. I got to watch it, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's it. I can just pick them out, man. Boom. And then I got all this overflowing chocolate chip aeration going on there, you know?
All right. Well, you know what? Okay.
All right.
So this is existing powers versus a wish list of a power you would like.
Okay. Yes.
That's the context.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
It's the existing powers that you got.
So I'm going to go with, you know what? My superpower is I could walk into almost any conversation and I have like working knowledge to be able to hold a conversation on almost any topic.
That's very good for a talk show host. You know, I think that's...
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about it. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, I do have like that gift of gab.
Yeah, I would say that's
good that.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
See, that's useful. See, for me,
AKA,
you know...
yours is good. Say you're in a bakery shop, you know, there's a contest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, pick out the best cookie. Well, this one has exactly 29 chocolate chips. I'm just
29
saying.
And a half.
Yeah, exactly. But by the way, it's going to be gone. So just take a picture of it now.
All right. So yours is a gift of gab. Mine is the gift of picking out chocolate chip cookies with the most chips in them. Wes, what are you?
I tell you what, fellas, it's rough to be blessed with as keen eyes and ears as I have. You know what I mean? I can tell you the best music. I can pick out the best movies and the best TV shows.
But you can only play 6 seconds of them.
Not even. He gets 3.2 seconds of it.
My musical and my film taste is just so exquisite, it's almost a curse.
Well, that's because your dad's a world-renowned symphonic
violinist. I mean, of course, you have to have an ear for music.
What's the term?
You're a thespian.
Yes, thespian. You know, now is it just? Or now, when you're saying movies, is it like movies to watch, or are you talking about soundtracks of said movies?
I mean, both.
Oh, okay. So you just okay? All right, then. How about this? Best 80s movie. There we go. I'll put you on the spot.
The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
I like the name of
it. I don't know, too. I was also just thinking movies with really good soundtracks, and that's got an elite,
yeah, exactly.
That's got an elite soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an elite soundtrack.
What was the one with the Brat Pack? St. Elmo's Fire, right? Wasn't that like one of those big, you know, soundtrack movies?
Well, I mean, you could pretty much pick any John Hughes movie, and it was going to have a killer
soundtrack. Who's John Hughes?
This is a way longer conversation. Wes?
Max, the answer, real quick, the answer. Max, the answer is Scarface. All right, I had a second to think about it. The answer is Scarface.
Oh, okay. There we go. I mean, Tony Montana was legendary. I mean, when you talk about 80s Miami, he was 80s Miami. I think these are pretty good working ones. I mean, we could move through life pretty easily. We just set Wolf up at a bakery. I'm sure he could also probably pick out, you know, the white chocolate chip macadamia nuts, the one that's the chunkiest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I believe you could also, don't limit yourself, Wolf. I think you could also find the softest chocolate chip cookie as well. Not only the one with the most chocolate chips, you could probably find the best one just enough cooked.
Ooey gooey.
You know, but still gooey and soft.
Yeah. I think the gooiness would be something that I could detect. You know, you notice with a lot of large-scale chocolate chip affiliated cookies, right? They're generally, they cook with that many chocolate chips. They're not going to bake it long because then you melt all the chocolate, and you don't want to do that because then it gets sloppified, yeah. right? No, so you just yeah. you get a little gooey, and you know what? You got all them chocolate chips. It's just beautiful. That's like making music, man.
Hey, just saying. I'm there with you because I look at it and I say, you know what? You know, unless it's a chocolate chunk cookie versus a chocolate Ooh. Chip cookie.
Well, now we're changing. We're moving the goalposts.
Changing the parameters. That's yeah, we're right. changing the parameters. Yeah, that's the one where you're like, okay, I can deal with that. But like you said, chocolate chip, because it's individual morsels, that one right. matters more. You don't want to really melt it as much. But a chocolate chunk, you can get away with that.
Yes, you can, so, because it can yeah. melt a little, and then you still got a chunk. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like. Well, this was one anyways, so I don't need to count four different morsels that melded together because it's chocolate chunk cookie.
Well, let me give you a few other people that have okay, yeah, let's hear, superpowers.
Let's hear some other great superpowers.
How about Ben Underwood? He is the boy with sonar vision. Think Daredevil, okay? Ben Underwood lost both eyes to cancer at 3 years old. Still, he managed to navigate his world while using just his hearing, making sharp clicking noises. How about that? I mean, sounds with his voice, mouth to, you know, he taught himself to self-echolate, if that's a word. But that's, you know.
Echolocation?
Yeah, echolocation. I mean, just 1 year after losing his eyes, he astonished his mother when they were in a car. He asked her what the big building was that they were just passing because he could echolate and find where he was at or knew that they were passing a big building. How about that?
That's pretty crazy.
It was because you're talking about Daredevil stuff, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And his younger brother didn't even know at first that his older brother was blind. I mean, isn't that something?
Wow.
He could walk around, yeah. ride a bike, and play basketball. That's crazy.
Now you've even peaked it even more. He played basketball blind?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that it wasn't he was yeah, a Michael Jordan out there,
yeah,
but
yeah, he wasn't draining Steph Curry threes from like half court.
Well, no, hold on, he wasn't Michael Jordan out there. Who is? He wasn't draining Curry three. Guys with eyes aren't doing that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, we're not comparing it like that. Yeah, exactly. We're like the kid. I mean, the fact that he could probably get up court, dribble, find the rim. I mean, that's pretty freaking amazing.
Well, how about being able to ride a bike? I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The proprioception, yeah, because you know, without visual, knowing how to keep your balance, that's crazy.
Well, also think about this, too. Scientists since then have actually taught people how to echolocate and actually use this as, you know, something they can use for people who have lost their sight. So that's pretty cool, man. I thought that was just, like, amazing. Now, there's another guy, Prahlad Johnny, all right? This is the man who did not eat or drink over 70 years, according to Prahlad Johnny and people around him, and they tested this guy. He absorbed water through a hole in the roof of his mouth somehow. I don't get the whole thing. But doctors observed and studied him for 2 weeks without seeing him eat or drink once. He did not pass any urine or stool, and he survived until he passed away at age 91. That's just, like, weird. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what to say about that.
What?
Max said.
I would think you'd cramp up, you know? You're living in India. It's hot.
Yeah, I'm still processing what he did.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, wait a second. Water in the roof of...
Yeah, that's what he said. He's got a hole in the roof of his mouth. Somehow water gets in there. But I don't understand that. If you don't eat or drink... think about it.
How do you get said water to get in said roof?
I don't know.
Mouth.
I don't know. So that's one of those things that's a little bit mysterious. And then I also have Vietnamese farmer Thai Nhoc. The guy's 81 years old. He claims he has not slept in over 50 years. Now, when he says he means a full night of sleep. Now, occasionally he will get into the rice wine and he'll sleep for an hour or two, you know? But
rice wine. Well, I mean, listen, there's plenty of ways to make an excuse. I mean,
I'm just saying that's what's being reported.
I haven't slept in days.
Oh, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. Give me more sake. Give me more rice wine.
Well, they say it may be PTSD kind of a deal for him. But supposedly,
PTSD,
this guy,
prefer the sake drink?
No. Well, wow. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I think. But I think our man, Ty Nock, has something. I think it had something to do with the Vietnam War. They're talking about the fact that it could have been. But those are just some of the. Oh, one more. The Iceman, Wim Hof. All right, we know him. 64-year-old father of six, he climbed a freezing Mount Kilimanjaro in shorts. Can you believe that? It's I mean, John Kolb has climbed Kilimanjaro. He tells me you start off in jungle, you end up in knee-deep snow. It's crazy. But he also ran a half marathon barefoot in the snow above the Arctic Circle. Just amazing.
You always got to have a shorts guy. Got to have a shorts guy to set the tone.
There's always a shorts guy. You're right.
You do need one of those. I'm not going to lie to you.
I got
to
tell you, Wes is all over, man. He is just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break because we have the great Missy Matthews coming up, and we have just fired off the final opening bell salvo right there. We'll be back with more and Miss Missy after this.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. You know, you hear that music. It is the unlicensed Notorious B.I.G. music that we, or it's just... It's we have to use another word. We can't say Notorious B.I.G. We could say the... infamous MIS.
Baby.
There we go. The infamous MIS music. There we go. That's what we'll call it for Missy. It is her music. We are joined once again for the finale show of the season inside the locker room. We are joined by the third member of our broadcast team and my compadre, my Kennywood twin. My buddy, Missy Matthews. Missy, welcome to the last episode. We are so happy that you could join us for this occasion.
I'm happy to join you guys. I feel like if we were all together, we would have had to get like a cake or something to celebrate, right?
Ooh.
Absolutely. See, there
right?
we go. That's broadcast mom status right there.
There you go.
We would have needed a cake to just commemorate this moment. Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it would have been a cakeable moment for all of us. And then, of course, we could have sent one to Billy wherever he's at in this world. I think he was in New York yesterday. Was he in New York yesterday? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember, but I do know this. Cake sounds really good right now.
a cake and a cup of coffee.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and you know, I would be remiss if I didn't allow Craig to ask his question of the day that we started the show off with.
Indeed.
Please proceed.
Missy, one of the things we're really hot on topic today is what is your superpower? Now, mine was because of the fact I can walk into any kitchen anywhere in America or a bakery and inevitably pick out the chocolate chip cookie with the most chocolate chips in it. Despite having flunked math twice, I can still do it. That's my superpower, I claim. So what is yours?
Okay. I'm a really good multitasker.
Really? Like,
there we go. I feel like I had to become a really good multitasker, but that might be my superpower of being able to like get multiple things done at the same time, efficient, check it off the list, scratch it off the notepad, and move on to the next project or whatever it is.
All right. I can, you know, and that is like job applicable because, you know, as a mom, you are a mom, you know, that is, yeah, that's a functioning. See, mine doesn't really have a lot of function outside the personal preference of me and chocolate chip cookies. Now, Max has a superpower. What is it, Max?
Mine was a gift of gab, Missy. I feel like I could walk into any situation, any topic, and I would have a working knowledge enough to hold a conversation.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, and that's a great superpower.
Especially for a talk show host, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm kind of like the outlier here, but I've got really no superpower that helps me.
Oh, geez. No,
I mean,
you
it
do,
is helpful. Yeah.
Birthday parties, I would be good. See, you know,
cookie table at the weddings, Wolf.
Yeah,
I mean, you're an all-star at the cookie table, baby.
Oh,
exactly. The favor bags, you know, it's like, hey, which one's the best one to take that has cookies in it? Oh, it's this one right here.
I'm feeling much better about myself right now.
I can totally see you doing that, Wolf.
Oh, no.
No. Don't grab that bag. That one's not worth it. No. Yeah, go big. Go big here. This is the one to go big on. Raffle baskets, you'd be a hit. All right, and Wes, please let Missy know what's your superpower.
Yeah, Missy, mine is just being able to tell outstanding music, outstanding movies, outstanding TV shows. You know, with rapid quickness. You know, I only need about 30 seconds of a song. I only need about 5 or 10 minutes of a movie or a TV show, and I can tell you if it's dynamite or not.
Oh, I respect that. That's a good one. I do not have that whatsoever. People say movie quotes, and it just goes right over my head.
Well, that's the fact, Jack.
Yes, it is. All right. Now, what's the story, Missy? Is Arthur Smith signed a contract yet?
He has not officially signed a contract. You know, that's how the Steelers, they don't announce until it is like pen to paper. So, you know, I'm sure it'll happen sooner rather than later, and they can get that process going.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we get this done. I mean, what are some of the things that you've heard about Arthur Smith? Since obviously this is an inevitability that we're working with right now, just things that you've heard about him from others. What's the word on the street, so to speak?
Well, I know a few people who have crossed paths with him, whether it's in Tennessee or Atlanta. And the first thing everybody says is, like, he's such a good dude. Like, he's one of those guys that loves football, is very invested, cares about his players, and just seems like a normal guy. I'm sure you guys have touched just the fact of who his dad is. That was something that I didn't really know until obviously he was being interviewed by the Steelers and you start, Googling and researching and learning about who all those candidates were. But seems to just be a normal, humble guy who you could go to the bar with and go to lunch, whatever, eat some cookies with Wolf, and would have no idea of what his upbringing was probably like. And I think when you look at the different stops that he had, he got his foot in the NFL, in the door for the NFL, but you know what? He also started as like a defensive quality control coach, and just kept working his way up. When he was in Tennessee, clearly he crossed paths with a lot of people that have Pittsburgh connections, Steelers connections specifically. But the one thing that I loved was how he wanted to work in the tight ends room because he felt like that position touched everything in terms of an offense, blocking, passing, knowing what everybody had to do. And he felt like that was something that he needed to hone in hopes of getting the OC job. And that was his next goal at the time. I just think that somebody who had a goal, knew that there was different stepping stones he was going to have to take to reach it. It wasn't just handed to him. He proved it. And I think that says a lot about just his character and what he will probably bring as a coach.
You know, I've heard him described as one of those guys who's there after midnight and gets in at 5 a.m., comes right back and gets in at 5 a.m., gets back to work. He's a grinder, in other words. And, it sounds like he's also bringing back a physical style of football that I'm excited. I am really, really excited to see what happens. I've heard it described that he is like Mike Mularkey with a mustache. You know, I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's fist in your face football with smash mouth with a touch of effervescence, basically. You know, and I like the sounds of that, Missy.
Well, and I think, you know, when Art Rooney II spoke earlier this week, he made it clear that this was obviously before everyone found out that he was going to be the next OC, was that we have a roster. You can't change it overnight. And the person that comes in is going to have to work with it. What did we see towards the end of this season? The thunder and lightning of Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. I think even like this is somebody who will utilize Pat Freiermuth, similar to what we saw in the Cincinnati game against the Bengals in Cincinnati. And yeah, I agree. The more and more, you know, you read and learn, the more excited I get about what the potential could be for this group under his leadership.
Yeah, no, it is it is pretty cool to think about what it's going to be having him at the helm. I'm really interested to see, because I know, you know, for Mike, you know, he has a lot of guys that are going to be retained, and how that reception is going to be with him working with those different guys that he's never worked with before, as well. You know, thinking about that, like, that's one that's kind of interesting to me. You know, like you said, you know, knowing that you have a Pat Meyer who's run game coordinator there, you know, the rest of the staff filling out, you know, if an Eddie Faulkner's coming back, a Mike Sullivan, because there's still those positions to be filled out on other teams as well. Like, their teams are still looking for OCs. And Mike Sullivan's already interviewed for an OC position. Faulkner as well, you know, taking a different role. That's going to be the other intriguing thing. I mean, have you heard anything about staff stuff?
I would have to assume that that's exactly what they're probably working through right now, because time is of the essence. This isn't something that you can sit around and wait and do, because it affects people's livelihoods on both sides, right? And I think that once he has that hammered down, you know, Coach Tomlin and Mr. Rooney were both asked about expanding the size of the coaching staff. And I think, you know, Mr. Rooney made it pretty clear, we're not going to do it for the sake of saying, well, now we have 10 more coaches. You're going to do it if it makes sense. And I'm sure that, you know, Arthur Smith is going to have a lot of say in what he feels he needs to accomplish the offense that he wants to do here in Pittsburgh. And I forgot to mention, because you did bring up his mustache, Wolf. Source told me there's no mustache right now.
Oh, really? He lost the mustache. Oh, my goodness.
Well, he lost it at the end of the season. Okay. When things were not going so well, there was a story I had read, I think it was on ESPN, that at like 3:40 in the morning, he woke up and couldn't sleep and said, screw it, shaved it off, and was like, fresh beginning. So it was something that he had, starting in training camp. That was kind of like their little mojination they had going on, their rallying cry. All the players started growing them.
Ah. It was like that Liberty Bibbity commercial, right? You know, he doesn't even have a mustache. Yeah. He puts it on.
Yeah, exactly. A little crooked.
A little crooked. Good. Exactly so. Now, have you been keeping up with the Pro Bowl games at all, Missy?
Not going to lie, I haven't really. Physically sitting down watching it on TV, I see a lot of things on social media. And I have to say, Miles Killebrew, that was amazing.
Yes.
I think that was last night. You know, it was funny because I listened to the clip. It was probably on Instagram or Twitter. And they're like, oh, man, he has the wrong idea about how this is going to work. And then everyone starts screaming and flipping out when he caught that ball and was able to hold on to it. But, yeah, I thought that was just really cool. And what a great, you know, experience for Miles, somebody who does some of the dirty work that's, you know, not as sexy as what skill players do, but how much he means to the Steelers team, a special teams captain, but just, you know, he likes to block everything that comes his way. I think, you know, Danny Smith is very happy to have him. But he is, you know, he's a guy that they're going to have to re-sign this offseason.
Yeah, no, they definitely are, and I think it's going to be very intriguing. I mean, because like you said, I mean, his stats already for a special teams guy, pretty phenomenal, would be an addition to any squad. Yeah, give me a guy who actually knows how to block punts, right?
Right.
Multiple times in a season, yeah. So it's like, yeah, I'll take that skill set. Yeah. Where do we sign him up at?
That's cool. A superpower.
Uh-huh.
Huh? That is a superpower.
Oh, that,
you know what? You're right.
That
Wolf.
Is a superpower.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously.
That would be cool.
Have you ever blocked a kick, Max? Because you were on the extra point rush at one time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did one time, and then it didn't count. But you can't tell me any different. You know, I'm like, nope, I blocked it. I don't care what you say. I have the picture to prove it. I blocked when we were playing Miami in Pittsburgh in that terrible weather. I blocked a Jay Feely kick.
I can tell you this, in JV football, I remember laying out to block a kick. I was probably 5 feet away from the punter, and then when I hit the ground, I was about 4.5 feet away from the punter.
Didn't get very far.
It counts. When I,
yeah. It counts.
I didn't block it. All I did
That's
was
what I said. Effort. I'm just saying effort. Counts for effort.
Oh, my heavens.
You put it all on the line in that moment.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Exactly so. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
Now, I thought it was amazing, though.
However you could get it. Just like when you're scoring basketball. Well, if you still scored in basketball.
That's right, even if it bounced off me, right? But the point is, I was watching Miles on a replay thing, and he had, I think it was 6 footballs that, you know, you hold them all, you know, you catch them one by one. And he put one between his knees and then caught the last one as he's falling backwards. It was sensational. I can't believe anybody could do that because I couldn't even catch it. I caught one punt in all the attempts I've tried off a jugs machine one time up at camp. That's it.
Well, the post that the Steelers had, they obviously tagged him in it. And I was going through some of the comments, and Rosie Nick, a little throwback for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I've seen him do this in practice before. So, you know, he must have had a little practice here and there with it. But, yeah, awesome stage to display your capabilities of catching as many footballs as possible. That's such, like, just takes you back to hot, sweaty Latrobe, Pennsylvania at training camp. AB used to do it.
Right.
And that's just, you know, something fun to work on. But, hey, for the Pro Bowl, it's great.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, you know, like you said, you're showing off skills that otherwise wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be noticed. You get to do it on that stage. Pretty cool experience. And like you said, for Miles, I mean, think about this. You know, as long as he's been in the league, to be able to get recognized to go to the Pro Bowl, and then you have that marquee moment in the Pro Bowl, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome, to say the least.
Yeah, and he's a good guy, and it's just, you know, great to see that he was recognized. I think, first of all, as a captain for special teams, because, you know, that means a lot to him, and it's your teammates voting for you. And then to get the Pro Bowl nod, you know, I think first team All-Pro, those are some serious, you know, things that you can put on your resume.
Now, coming up, we got the Super Bowl. Now, can we get your opinion on the Taylor Swift, Jason, or Travis Kelce romance going on there? What do you think of this whole thing? I mean, we're suffering in the after effects of Bill Cowher, Boomer Esiason, and Nate Burleson being accosted outside the stadium at Amtrak by a drunken Ravens fan who was a conspiracy theorist and thinks that it's all about the NFL wanting Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl with Travis Kelce. And they nearly came to blows over it, as I understand from the news report.
God.
Yeah, I know. Is this – all right, what do you think? And are you wearing a tinfoil hat right now? I mean, because, you know, any good conspiracy has a tinfoil hat.
First of all, what player or team would be like – sure, we'd love to lose in the championship game so that we can't go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm sorry. You hate that. The AFC Championship was so entertaining to watch, but every time the Ravens did something dumb, you just like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, you literally are blowing this for your team. I'm sorry. It's not rigged at all. And I do not mind the Taylor Swift thing. I think it's funny how angry it makes people, particularly men. She's like one of the most successful human beings on this planet.
Yeah.
She is a bigger name than any football player.
Yeah.
And she just happens to be dating one of them. You know, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. You know, good for her. I understand that like so much was made of her going on the field. If it was a girlfriend that wasn't Taylor Swift, would it not be okay for her to go on the field and celebrate? You could just see the joy that she had, how happy she was for him, and even gave the like, hey, here's your brother. I'm going to step back. Like, this is your moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I appreciate how she handles it, and it doesn't bother me one bit.
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, but I thought it was amazing that you got – and why amazing do we find that a inebriated – Ravens fan being all honked off thinking that it's rigged, you know, that I don't know. I just thought it'd be hilarious to get your opinion on that.
I mean, well, especially because it's the Ravens, you know, I'm going to feel differently about it. I'm going to be a little biased, but regardless, it's ridiculous. I did think the whole, like, the scheme, the color scheme of the Super Bowl logos the past 2 years, it's like, you can really make that what you want. I understand this year it really did not come to fruition because there's no purple team in it. But the past few years, I thought they were, you know, the Eagles aren't teal. Last year, they weren't. It wasn't teal, but they were like, oh, nope, that makes sense. The Eagles made it. Jacksonville's teal.
Yeah, you know, Miami's
like,
teal.
Get your crayon box out. We're trying to make this so that crazy people think that this is a conspiracy theory.
It is wild, and like you said, I mean, you know, this is something that, you know, people are looking for a reason to complain, right? I mean, that's just what it comes down to. You know, if there's a reason to complain, they're going to find a way. And that's the people that say, well, you know, the sun's out. Ah, but the sky doesn't look the right hue of blue, so I can't appreciate this. You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, seriously, like, who peed your Cheerios, you know?
And do you know how many prop bets there are going to be about, does Taylor make it from Tokyo? How many times do they show her? I mean,
I didn't even think about that.
The gaming world is like, yes, we love this. We are going to make so much money off of these just ridiculously angry men who are going to spend lots of money to, you know, predict one way or another what's going to happen with Taylor and the different things. So whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Which color is she going to wear? Is she going with the home team red or away white? What's the lucky thing?
Right.
She's wearing that jacket again that Kyle Juszczyk's wife made. You know, I mean,
How cool, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go on one more tangent about Taylor Swift. She obviously understands the attention that she gets. She was particular in what she was wearing. She supported a woman-owned business on purpose. They said that she had part of her team, she wanted vintage things from a Kansas City-owned business to buy some stuff that she could wear because she wanted to support a business in Kansas City. I just think, you know, people make too much of a hoopla about it but don't realize the things that she does. It's even not just, you know, when it comes to supporting the Chiefs. She's very strategic in where she spends her money and who she supports. She's part of a pretty cool, if I would say so, girl gang of famous people. And I don't know. I appreciate when people of that stature and of that power use it for.
There you go. It's a superpower she has. There you go.
Right.
Exactly, the superpower of thoughtfulness and being very particular. but that's also understanding your brand, right? Because, I mean, and the NFL's no dummy. Like, they're going to try and ride this wave of success as well because they're like, listen, you know, our brand value has shot up exponentially because of the fact that we do have an interest in a Taylor Swift in these type of situations. So, you know, it's like, yeah, you'd be an idiot not to take advantage of this opportunity and quote-unquote free advertisement that's going on. Because, you know, the NFL, like you said, you're touching unique people, you know, in a space where, you know, you're always trying to find a new place, a new milestone to hit. And the fact that, you know, you found that quote-unquote niche right now where you – I mean, listen – my daughters, you know, last night we're at dinner with one of my buddies, and my youngest, Quincy, and his daughter Paige, they're talking about how much they can't wait for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl because Taylor Swift's boyfriend's on the team. I'm like his name is Travis Kelce. Like, he has a name. He's been in this league for 11 years. He didn't all of a sudden become Tay-Tay's, you know, BF. And that was it. It's like, no, he actually was really successful before that. He's actually won Super Bowls before, you know? So, but try and tell a 9 and a 10 year old any different and they're not trying to hear you.
No, but you know, it's funny because you have the girls, I have the boys, and my oldest came home, mom, people were talking about Taylor Swift and how she's dating somebody in the NFL. They didn't even know who Travis Kelce was. I had to explain it to them. And I'm like, well, bud, like, you know, some of the girls might not watch football. But that's great because he just kept correcting them, apparently. It's Travis Kelce. He's not just an NFL player. It's Travis Kelce. And I was like, well, thank you for putting some respect on his name and helping educate, you know, the third grade girls in your class.
Exactly. He's like, I'm your unequivocal football insider, just in case anybody needs to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, last question I got for you, Missy. What are you going to do with your weekends now?
Well, I've been spending them inside hockey rinks a lot, which we have some hoops too, which I enjoy. I'm super pumped tomorrow. Pitt plays Notre Dame in basketball at the Pete. I've been to like one game in the past few years, so I'm going to take my boys to that. Hockey. That's kind of how we roll these days, but I really enjoy watching them play, and especially the five-year-old. You know, you got to love the little kids that can't skate well and shoot on their own net. It's just, it's good time.
That's priceless. That's priceless right there. It's like, no, other way. No, I got this. I got a clear shot, guys.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's so. Like practice.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is awesome. Well, Missy, we truly appreciate the time, as always. And, of course, enjoy the offseason. I look forward to the next opportunity that we get to work together, starting next season when we kick back off in training camp. But enjoy everything, and I'm sure we'll be speaking in the meantime before that we get to that. But it's always been a pleasure, ma'am.
Oh, you guys too. Love you guys. And before you blink, we will be in training camp. So maybe don't say that again, Max.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. We need to get through the rest of quote unquote. It's going to be a short winter apparently because Punxsutawney Phil said so.
I'm in.
We'll be there soon enough. So we'll try and make the most of it until that time.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you always having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks, Missy. We so appreciate you. A touch of class in the locker room. There you go.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to step aside. We'll be back with more Inside the Locker Room here on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, Max, here we go. The smack talking is about to begin. Hot off the presses, Nick Bosa rips the Chiefs' offensive line. He goes full on Joey Porter Sr. on Seahawks tight end Jeremy Stevens when he was questioned about Donovan Smith and the other tackle, Juwan Taylor. And they asked him about it. He says, the Chiefs hold a lot. Gadzooks, did you ever hold a lot, Max? Because I certainly didn't. I don't ever remember holding a guy. Just somehow you get a little jersey in your hand accidentally, you know, between friends. What are you going to do? You know, you got a little man of the cloth type of action type, you know. What? How about you? I'd never held. Did you?
Wolf, remember I told you what my superpower was?
Uh-huh.
The gift of gab. I could talk about any subject.
Right.
I'm very foreign to this one. I don't even know. How do you say it? Hold. I know what clutching is, but I don't know what holding is.
Okay,
there's a gap in my knowledge base.
Is this the smack talking that we're gonna get? I mean, I just you remember what Joey Porter did to Jeremy Stevens? Absolutely eviscerated him. The dude couldn't even hang on to the ball by the time you got the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now Nick Bosa comes out and goes, they hold a lot. Okay, yeah. Well,
it's like okay, Nick. All right, water's wet. What's the next topic? I mean, are we surprised?
Leave the offensive lineman out of this, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you picking on him for?
You know, though, gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. Go blame somebody else.
I was just going to say, I've obtained this exclusive audio, okay, of Patrick Mahomes talking to Bosa after the game next Sunday, all right?
Really?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
And you know what? Off offensive line. Who's laughing now, O-line?
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, wait, sorry. That was Ben Roethlisberger that's about 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's a wrap on the first hour. We're going to a break because the Power Hour is coming up. Max is coming in for his last Power Hour leadoff, coming into the second hour here, right here in the locker room on our last day before we go bye-bye for the offseason. Stay tuned. More from here in the locker room.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.